the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.
Hi, and welcome to the Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast. My name is Dan Latto, and in this podcast, we've got a Facebook Live. So I did a Facebook Live in the last couple of days, and of course, not everybody can watch the Facebook Lives, but the information in those Facebook Live events are really important. So I wanted to share them, and I wanted to get them down as a podcast. And so here is that Facebook Live. Speak soon. And good morning, everybody. It's Dan Latto speaking. We are on podcast 193. Welcome. It's Monday morning. It's 8 o'clock in the UK. And in today's podcast, I'm going to talk to you about how I turn my earned income into passive income. Okay, so let's just get a couple of definitions down for you so you know exactly what I'm talking about. So earned income is basically where you go out, you get up on a Monday morning, 7 a.m., get dressed, you get in your car, you get to work to 8, 9 o'clock, you work your hours, you finish work, you get back in your car for an hour, you go home, you have tea, you watch TV, you go to bed, you wake up, and then you do the same on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. And you party like it's 1999, Friday night and Saturday night, and you're so drunk that you forget how good a weekend you've had, or you're recovering, and then you're back on Monday. That, for me, is a very fine definition of earned income. Not everybody agrees with that specific definition, but that was my definition when I used to have a job. I'm fairly unemployable now, I would suggest. So if I ever fall in hard times, I'm pretty screwed. Just completely unemployable. But that's earned income. You get up, you go to work, you get a return on your time invested. Okay, good definition. Passive income, however, is where you wake up Monday morning and you think, do you know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to go down to the sea. Instead of having a shower upstairs, I'm going to go for a swim in the sea about 9:30 when everyone's stuck in the cars on the way to work. And then you go do that and you go and have a swim and then you come back, you watch a bit of Netflix, or you go play basketball, or you go to the gym. But you don't have to exchange your time for money because your assets are exchanging their value for money. Okay, so it's almost like you've got your time and you've given it somewhere else. Good morning, Stephen. So you've got your time and you're giving it somewhere else, an asset, and that asset is generating income. So let's just say you earn £1,000 a year at a job. The question is, how are you going to change your income so that instead of having to get up and go to the job, you now have assets that are generating that cash flow? So let's just do the maths, have the trusty phone. What is 20 grand a year? Now, there's a difference as well, by the way, on pre-tax pound investing, which we've talked about in a previous podcast. But essentially, pre-tax pound investing is if you've got someone who earns 20 grand, what, a third of that's going to be taxed? So about £6,500 of that will be taxed. We've got £14,000 left. So I can actually do that maths. It's about £1,400 a month. Okay. But if you're earning £20,000 from a business, let's say, you can offset your car first, you can offset your mobile phone, your laptop that we're recording off, and other various things. And then you get taxed on what's left. So out of that £20,000, you might have spent six, you get taxed on the other 14% at the third of that. I don't know what a third of 14 is. Divided by three times two. So you'd end up with, let me do it again. Ha ha ha, 14 divided by three. So you'd only lose £4,600, not the £6,000, right? Does that make sense? You're saving £1,400. Doesn't sound like a lot, but that's the money that you start to use to invest, okay? Now, if I've gone through those numbers quickly, go find the other podcast. We go through that in a lot more detail. Pre-tax pound investing is actually one of the keys to wealth, right? So if you don't understand that as a concept, you absolutely need to understand that as a concept. And actually, this is part of the problem, is that the level of education, the level of knowledge that people have, because I get it, you're busy, you're getting up and you're going to work every day, but what are you doing in your car? I mean, I was walking the dog yesterday and I'm listening to podcasts. Do you know what I mean? We ran out of bread, disaster, jump in a car, go get some bread and some fire lighters for our fire. And I'm listening to podcasts. I'm constantly learning. You know, we're going through two or three books a month right now, which is, it's hard work. Obviously, it's hard work. But in order for me to get onto that next level as well, you know, because we're always looking at improving, then I also have to
generate more information and more education to make sure that I'm in a better place as well. But pre-tax power investing is really, really important. So passive income, let's just give you a couple of examples of passive income. So obviously property. Now, let's just talk about actual definition of passive, because property is not passive. Okay. Now, it can be, depending on what you do and how you do it, but it's not always. Mine's semi-passive, right? So what that means is that when I'm trying to think of something. Oh, we had a leak a couple of days ago. You know, the plastic connectors from the bath to the pipes, that leaked in one of the flats, and it's leaked in the flat downstairs. Nightmare, right? So nobody tells us until like 2 months in when it's caused a lot of damage. But anyway, that's fine. We've got a maintenance budget set aside for stuff that goes wrong, because stuff always goes wrong. And if you haven't got a maintenance budget in property, you're screwed, right? So, but what happens there is somebody emails me, I email my maintenance man, my maintenance man goes around, makes contact with the tenants, he's got all their numbers. So all I have to do there is actually pass the information on. Now, actually, what I could do is I could hire a property manager, and the information goes to them, and then they go and sort that out. But I prefer to be more hands-on. All my income, or not all of it, but certainly a large percentage of my income comes from my passive income, and I want to be more hands-on with that. But that's my personal choice. I don't have to do it. And if you don't want to do it because you're so busy doing everything else, you don't have to do it either. But again, it just depends on the deal. So other examples of passive income. So you've got property. You could be an email marketer. So you're building an email list. You've got 10,000 people on your list. You're emailing it every day or every 3 days or every week. And within that email is buy this thing, buy a 10X hat, buy a CD of education, buy this training course, come and attend this event. And you make commission. We call it affiliate marketing. So you make affiliate commission on that. So let's say, like, for example, I'm an Amazon ambassador, which is always very nice. So if I share something on Amazon, chances are it's probably an Amazon affiliate link. I tend not to do that many. But when I do, and people buy off that, then actually I earn money from that, which is really nice. That's a form of passive income. I'm also an affiliate for Grant Cardone, let's say. So if you go over to Grant's 10X and you sign up off my link, I get, I don't know what percentage is, 10, 20, 30% of whatever his sale is. So I get that. So that's another form of passive income. Another form of passive income, let's do the boring one, shall we? Stocks and shares. They're really passive, like literally, and because they're so passive, by the way, this is why I don't do them. They are literally nothing you can do. So if you were to take, is it Facebook just recently? Let's say you bought Facebook a year ago and compared it with today. You just lost like 50% of your wealth, right? And this is the problem with these type of stocks and shares. And by the way, none of this is financial advice. I'm not a financial advisor. Go seek professional information. This is just my opinion on what I'm doing with my money. So get the legal stuff out there. So that's the problem with stocks and shares, right? It's good that you have no control, but that's the reason why we don't buy them, is because we have no control. At least if I've got a leak in a flat, I can go and fix the leak. I can go and replace the flooring with nice wooden flooring or really nice carpet, and I can go and paint the place. I can put more furniture in. But if Facebook's struggling, what am I going to do? Yeah, Facebook, here's a couple of quid to help you along. Like, that's not really going to help them. Do you know what I mean? So, and actually, Facebook hasn't gone down because their revenues has gone down. Facebook's gone down because of all the Cambridge Analytica stuff and all the political stuff that's going on, I reckon. I don't know for sure, but I reckon. But, like, I've got no idea. Because it's passive. I've got no control over it. And that's why I don't want control over it. And the other problem with stocks and shares is there's no leverage. So, you know, to buy £100,000 worth of stocks and shares, how much money do I need? I need £100,000. Well, that's no good. What about on a property? Well, how much money do I need? Well, maybe depending on the mortgage, you might need 25% down, a couple of percent for closing costs, you know, solicitors and conveyancing and that kind of thing. But, you know, I can get a 100 grand property for 35 grand. Heck, I can even do better than that. I can take control on a lease option, £100,000 property for maybe 2 grand, right? Just the cost of a lease. Or in fact, maybe for nothing. We've done this before. We've taken control of a property. We've gone in, we've exchanged on this property. No money's passed hands, or a pound passed hands, actually. We've gone in, we've done the place up, and then we found a buyer. We had 6 months to complete on this deal. We actually ended up selling it to somebody else. Within that 6 months, we made the money. We went in, did the place up, we made the money. We closed on the first guy, and then we sold it on the second guy. We made, I don't know what it was, 10, 15 grand, a couple of years ago now. But, like, you could try doing that with stocks and shares. That's so risky. Like, you know, you could go into Forex where you can have a, you know, 100-fold the amount of your account. You can trade using that. But if you lose that money, you're owing money. That's scary as heck. Like, you know, you could say the same about property, but at least the property's still going to be there. If I'm, you know, if we did that on Facebook, borrowed 100 grand, okay, or we bet on using Forex, or binary options and that kind of thing. If we bet against Facebook, said it was going to go up and it went down, we just lost all that money, like, in a heartbeat. At least in property, it takes a period of time, which is a good reason, okay, because it gives us time to add value to it. But we can't add any value to Facebook. So, okay, so I know I've covered that really well, but I just wanted you to understand that. So, as ever, there are three things you need to do in order to turn your earned income over to your passive income. Number one, your debt levels are too high. At some point, you're going to have to start paying this debt down, okay? Now, when I refer to debt levels, I don't mean mortgage debt. Mortgage debt is what we call good debt. Loans, credit cards, car loans, that's all bad debt. Like, you know, when we first moved over to Spain, you know, we spent £1,000 a month buying cars, right? So we got a loan for those and we bought those cars. It's costing us £1,000 a month. So let's put this into some context. Let's just say our income was 2,500, but our expenses was 1,800 quid. And then we go and buy two cars at 1,000. Now we're £300 a month down, right? And this is how most people are living, by the way. It's unsustainable. It's not going to work. So you've got to pay that debt down. And you've got to overpay on your loans and credit cards because this is like kryptonite around your neck. Now, I'm not saying that you pay that money down like the first thing, but it's got to be in your business plan. You know, the plan, your cash flow forecast for the next 3 to 5 years, it's got to be in there at some point because you might actually want to put, instead of, you know, paying down 10 grand on credit cards, loans and cars, you might want to keep that 10 grand, buy a property on a lease option, put 2 grand down, spend 8 grand doing it up, and then you make 10 grand, right? Then you get your original 10 grand back plus the 10 grand that you've made. Now you've 20 grand, then you can pay probably all your credit cards off or all your cars or whatever. Or at least now you've got 20 grand to go and do the same again. You start building it up. So this is what we did. When we first started buying, you know, I mean, I talk about buying in a second. Let's deal with debt because it's really important. Debt is like kryptonite around your neck and it will slowly sap your power. All the power that you have as a powerful human being, which I believe that we all have, it's going to get sapped. It's totally going to disappear over a period of time, and then you end up at this rock bottom where you're literally on this wheel going round trying to earn enough money to cover all your costs and then pay down a little bit of debt. And it's you know, this thing about going out and buying the latest watch or the latest car or the latest pair of shoes or the 300 pound jeans. You know, when you look at Men's Health magazine, for example, it's always blown me away, and I'm going through and I go, oh, that's a nice pair of shoes, and look at the price, that's 250 quid. Who wears shoes for 250 quid? And people go, oh, yeah, but you don't understand, because those pair of shoes right there, I was going to list some shoes up, but I don't have any. Those pair of shoes, they'll last all year, or they might last 5 years. I'm like, for 250 quid, I want them to last for life. You know, I would buy my shoes at 20 quid. My shoes were 20 pounds. I'm closing multi-million pound deals working at Dell in 20 pound shoes. Do they look 20 pound shoes? No, of course not, because it's not the shoes. It's how you rock it, right? It's not about the shoes. Try telling Michael Jordan it's not about the shoes. He made a lot of money on his shoes, right? If you're making a lot of money on the 250 quid shoes, wear the shoes. But most people aren't. Any old pair of shoes will do, right? As long as they're shiny, they're not scuffed. Like, nobody cares. Nobody knows a 20-pound pair of shoes. And then people go, ha-ha, what a scratter. What a cheapskate. These are the same people. I'm 46. These are the same people who got up and got in their car and went to work this morning because they can't afford to do anything else. Whereas this afternoon, I don't know what I'm going to do. I might nip out. Who knows? I might nip to the beach. It's a bit cold, but I might take the dog out. Who knows, right? That's the difference. That's why the suit that you wear, the watch that you wear, and the shoes on your feet are not important. What is important is, what are you going to do with that money? Pay down your debt as quick as you can. You know, about £250 worth of shoes. We put some money into an investment, and it took about 14 months. But that investment brought back, we put 100 quid in, and we got £130 back in 12 months. So that 250 quid shoes, 30% in about 14 months. I can't do the maths on that. $675 would have turned $250 into £325 in 14 months. Why would you not want to do that? Imagine doing that with $100,000 and then doing it every single year. That's why you don't spend the money on the shoes, because you want to be putting money into something else that's going to grow. So debt is like kryptonite. Stop spending your money. Get rid of your expensive cars. Buy a beat-up jalopy. A jalopy is a word. I think it exists, but it's a word for a car in my world. Buy a beat-up jalopy and drive that. Heck, that's what I did. And people go, oh, well, you don't understand. I've got to look good for my business. Like, we'll park around the corner and walk and say, oh, I can't get the train today. Like, nobody cares. The only person that cares is you and your ego. The reason why you're not where you want to be financially is because your ego is stopping you. Your ego is writing checks that your body can't cancel. Something like that, I don't know. Anyway, okay, debt. Get rid of it at some point. Next one, you got to start generating cash. So for me, I went from earning £15,000 a year at age 26, rocking it 20 years ago, £15,000, and I went to £100,000 before I hit the age of 30. I actually left work at the start of June, I think it was. I bought a Porsche 911 for £42,500, beautiful yellow convertible car, loved that car, private plate, so I was a proper idiot. Private plate, beautiful, beautiful car, bright yellow, because if you're going to spend that much money, you want people to know it. That's a bit ego talking right there. Like, don't get me wrong, ego's great. I know people, oh, you shouldn't have an ego. Of course you bloody well should. Everybody needs an ego. Your ego is what keeps you in a competition. Your ego is what helps you see somebody else, a friend of yours, doing really well. And you go, well done, mate, you're doing really well. But secretly you're seething because you want to do as well as they are. Like, you still mean well for them, but you're jealous. There's nothing wrong with being jealous. Jealousy is like, in this context, okay, is a good thing. Too much jealousy is not a good thing, right? But a little bit of ego and a little bit of jealousy, I'm all up for that. Get me jealous. Go out and show me your fabulous portfolio of the holidays on the yacht that you're having. And I'm like, that's so awesome. I want to do that. And it motivates me. Do you know what I mean? So ego is a great thing. But so I went from 15 to 100 grand. I had so many people who go, who do you think you are earning that much money? How did you get that job? I remember two things. One is I remember pulling up at a petrol station and I got the job at Dell, and I just bought a BMW convertible, a really nice car. Always loved the 3 Series, and it was a 330i, not the M. And it was nice, fast car. I loved it. I pulled up services and I bumped into one of my old nemesis, from my old business. And he was looking me up and down, like, and it was so funny because he was just looking at me up and down. It's like, have you afforded that then? I'm like, well, I work at Dell now. And it's like, how have you got a job at Dell? And it was like music to my ears. I'm like, yes, because he was a bit of a cock, really. But I loved it. So that's number one. And then number two was when I left Dell and I had the Porsche. I think I mentioned this in another podcast, but I had the Porsche and my old boss pulled up next to me in his, I think he had an Audi, which is, Audis are nice. It's not a Porsche 911, but it's nice. Just like an Audi S4 or something. nothing special, do you know what I mean? He turns up. I had the hood down, so I'm like, oh, morning, you all right? Next set of traffic lights. And he's looking at the car and he's looking at me. And you could just see he's like seething. Like, I'm hoping, by the way, that motivated him, right? Anyway, the lights turned green, whoom, left him in a cloud of smoke. Oh, yes, the ego works really well. Anyway, so 15 grand to 100 grand in 4 years flat. Now, if you want to know how you do that, you go from job to job to job to job to job. And everybody says, oh, you don't want to do that. Oh, you don't want to be known for swapping jobs, right? People only know what you tell them anyway, right? So you just miss a couple of jobs out. How many jobs you had? Oh, I've had two when you've had eight. Like, who cares? Like, this is what people do. This is the art of the job interview, is to blag your way through it. What's your biggest deal? It's whatever it is. And, like, it's half that. That's part of job interviews. It's just what you do. So, and I must admit, I was so underqualified for this job at Dell. It was very, very stressful. I was 29, 28, in fact. And I got this job and everyone else was my age as I am now. Like, I'm 46 now. So people are a lot older, a lot more mature, a lot more experienced. And boy, if I was in that job now, I'd be doing 250,000 easy on that job. Because it was an easy job. I just didn't have the skills So, like, I got the job, my skills were down here, and I had to work like crazy just to bring my skills up. And I did bring them up, but not to where I could have been. You know, if I had that job today, with all the knowledge and experience and, you know, the ability to build rapport and all the training I've gone through, I'd be amazing at that job, despite the fact that I'm completely unemployable. But that, for me, was how I went from 15 grand to 100 grand in less than 4 years, from going from job to job to job. Every time I got the next job, I'd go up to the next job. So that was a great way of doing it. And then after I left Dell, I went and started buying property. I started buying houses to do up and sell. I'd go to auctions, I'd buy at an auction, because I knew the areas that I wanted to buy in. I knew the prices. Like, there's a property right now that we're looking at, and it's about 40 grand. It's going to go to an auction, about 40 grand. Needs a lot of work doing to it. But it only needs about £15,000 worth doing to it. Now, that house done is worth 70, right? Like, we could sell it for 70 all day long. So actually, we'll probably get 75, 77 out of that house. But let's just say we went, we bought it for 40, 15 grand on it. That's 45. Sorry, it's 55. And then another 15 grand for profit. That's nice. That's what we used to do. So age 30, 15 years ago or so, that's exactly what we used to do. We'd buy lots of property. We'd do them up and we'd sell them. We've bought and sold millions of pounds worth of property. That's another way of generating cash. So then after that, I stopped doing that for a while, and then I went and backpacked around Europe. So then when I came back, half my portfolio was empty because we had a letting agency not managing it properly. So I was like, oh, screw this, I'll create my own lettings agency. And that's exactly what we did. And we had a very profitable letting agency. And in fact, that letting agency, for 5 or 6 years, I forget what it was, we literally doubled revenue for 5 or 6 years in a row. Maybe it was 4 or 5 years, but either way, we doubled revenues on that. And that generated cash. And if I'd have a weak point in my portfolio, and bear in mind that I wasn't Dan as I am today at that point. I was Dan spending £1,000 on a night out, not knowing where my money was, massive difference. You know, the last 10 years for me have made all the difference. Going through a separation and divorce, and I haven't spent a lot of money on, not a divorce as such because of work, but I haven't spent a lot of money on solicitors and literally not paying mortgages, not paying council tax and gas bills and service charges because we're going through this horrific time emotionally. So eight or 10 years ago. So then getting into debt with that, do you know what I mean? And then not having a spreadsheet, not knowing where the money went. Like, we've got all that in place. And that is one of the reasons why we're doing so well today, is because we know exactly where every single penny goes. That's a great learning experience because we nearly lost the whole lot due to this separation. So, like this is real life, folks. This is stuff that happens in people's real lives. And it is completely real and completely, you know, real life. It is totally what happens to a lot of people who don't recover. A lot of people in 2008, because obviously 10 years ago we had the 2008 bust, everything went as well. Like, it was looking bleak, do you know what I mean? A lot of people didn't make it through those times financially either. So anyway, so we created the lettings agency sort of, I don't know, what must be 14, 15 years ago now. And that did really well. We doubled the income off that, and that helped pay for sometimes that we had those blips. And then we sold the lettings agency, and now... and then we create the coaching business, which is property coaching and business coaching. And now we have a digital marketing strategy. But all of this, right, it doesn't matter what the business is. We could be selling 250 quid shoes. It doesn't matter what the business is. It's about generating cash. What skills have you got? What do you enjoy doing? Do you like helping other people? Like if you like helping other people, go out and help other people. If you hate other people and you want to make them as sad as possible, go and be a debt collector or buy debt up and go chase it. Do whatever floats your boat. You know, if that's what you want to do, then that's what you go and do. Ideally, be nice to people. But if you can't be nice to people, it doesn't matter. Go out and make the money and then give it to charity and be nice in some way. Do you know what I mean? So your job is to make the transition either from a job into a business, okay? And you could do that by having a side hustle, or getting really good at your job, like be an expert. Like, if I was back in my sales job 15 years ago, a bit longer, 17 years ago, wow, I would be going on every training course going, I'd be reading every book, I'd be listening to every podcast, everything, right? Like, I didn't do any of that back in those days. I listened to a Tom Hopkins tape, and obviously sales has moved on since Tom Hopkins, but I didn't do anything like that. I just went and did Nothing. I just went out and got pissed, basically. And if you're American, I got drunk, not angry. Pissed means drunk. So, generating cash, that's what it's about. And that's what we do today. And the only reason that we generate cash, okay, there's only two reasons why we generate cash. Number one is we're paying debt down. We're paying mortgage debt down because we want to get rid of the mortgage debt. Okay. And bear in mind that properties we bought 20 years ago for 40 and 50 and 60,000 pounds that were for 170, they're being bought down, paid down using today's money. A pound today is worth a lot less than a pound 20 years ago. This is why we went interest only, because the money that we knew we'd earn in 20 years' time would be worth a lot more than the money that we earned 20 years ago. That money 20 years ago is best going into other investments. Now, because this is our cycle, now we're on about paying some of that stuff down. Not all of it. This is number one. Step two is actually we're going to use some of that money to buy more stuff, to generate more assets. So then we have more money coming in monthly. We're cash flow heroes. That's a great name, isn't it? We're cash flow heroes on a monthly basis. We generate cash to pay for our monthly lives. Our electricity bill is monthly. Our house payments are monthly. The private school is a monthly payment. Everything's monthly. The swimming pool guy, we pay weekly. But it's like we're our monthly being. So we want to generate enough cash each month. If you're not an annual being or a weekly being, you don't exist on an annual basis. You don't get paid 20 grand and then you can spend it. You get paid 2 grand a month and you come out with 1,600 quid or whatever it is, 1,400 quid. And then out of that money, you spend on whatever there is because you are monthly and you want monthly income and you should have monthly targets. What's your passive income versus your earned income? And that should be a column on your spreadsheet, earned income, passive income. And you might have three or four different versions of passive income that all add up. So hopefully at some point, it makes more money than your earned income. Good morning, Jane. Let's just talk about property for a little bit on this one, because property has been my vehicle and I kind of done it the opposite way around. So, well, kind of both really. So a lot of people, they go out and they earn a lot of money on a business, they sell the business, they move into real estate and then they're in real estate. I was buying real estate. That was like my property. Listen to so much American stuff. Property for me has been the journey for the last 20 years. And I've been buying, my first house was 40 grand up in Hyde Park. We've still got it. We've got a tenant who's not paying, so we're just evicting over Christmas, which is always jolly. But it's his choice not to pay, despite earning an income. But anyway, so property for me has been the thing over the long term. And as property prices have increased, we've remortgaged, we've pulled that money out, we bought the next one. And we've added value, or maybe we've bought and sold a couple of things, and we've taken that money, we bought the next one. But if I was to go back and be 26 years old again, first going through that, I would be going and getting a job in sales. I'd be earning like $250,000 as soon as I could. I'd be just focused on doing that job and nothing else and generating a lot of cash. And then at some point, I'd be moving back into property because property has been the vehicle. And it will be the vehicle for the next 25 years at least, and the next 100 years, and the next 1,000 years. And the beauty on property is you can put it in a trust. You can wrap it up like an egg and nobody can touch it. Okay, it can be managed and your offspring for generations to come can benefit from the income from that property. Beautiful. You can't do that on a pension. So this is why we want to move your earned income. You want to pay down your debt and then you want to move it into property. And people go, oh, you can't buy properties for 40 grand anymore. Of course you bloody well can. You just need to have a look. We're looking at buying one via auction. And I know lots of people that are buying stuff for 70 grand, like the difference between 40 and 70. Like, so what? And we're going, well, I've not got 20 grand as a deposit. Okay, so that's, it's 20 months, £1,000 a month. That's how much you need to save. What car have you got? I've got a really nice BMW M3. Not anymore. You need to sell that shit. You need to get rid of it. Okay, because that's 500 quid. Now you only need to find 500 pounds. What's your food budget? Well, I spend 300 pounds. Great, make that 200 pounds. Yeah, but I like donuts. Well, stop eating donuts then and go on a diet and spend 200 pounds instead of 300. That's another 100 pounds. Where's your other 400 pounds going to come from? What mobile phone have you got? Well, I've got the latest phone. Like, sell it, get an older phone. Cut your cancel your thing if it's 65 quid. I think mine cost me 65 or 70 pounds a month for my mobile phone. It's a very good phone. It's got top contract on it, but I don't need it, right? My Facebook Lives when I'm outside is on my cracked, look at that, it's my cracked S5 with my very nice Stormtrooper back. So I do Facebook Lives on that. That's a 5S. Like, you can use that. You can live on that. You don't need the latest phone. I've got this phone because it performs part of my business and it's offset because of business. But if you need to generate £1,000 a month, these are the choices. What choices are you going to make, right? The business pays for my phone. But what choices are you going to make? Well, I want the latest phone. Fine, you can have that. Don't buy property. And then wait 5 years. You just lost 5 years of your life not buying property. That's crazy. It doesn't make sense to me. It just doesn't make sense. Why would you not save £1,000 a month to change your life? You know, if it took you 5 years of saving to completely transform your life, would you do it? That's a great question. I would totally do it. Hell, I did do it. We lived on potatoes and beans for a good year when we first bought, when I first bought my first property at age 26. I couldn't afford it until I moved the lads in. We all had a room each and we had an awesome time. And then I was making money. I was making 240 quid a month on that one property because I had my mates living with me. I spent it all on beer, obviously, at that age. But my mates were paying for my nights out and really I should have been saving that, you know. 250 quid is about £3,000 a year. Property prices were low back then, you know, about a 40 grand property. It was a piece of shit, needed doing up, but I've still bought it. You know, you were getting mortgages at 5%. Do you remember those days? So actually after 12 months, that 250 quid a month would have bought that. But actually at the time I was earning a lot of money in sales and we moved all the income from sales. So I managed to do it that way, but I could have optimized. I'm not saying that you have to live like an absolute saint. What I'm saying is that you've got to make these decisions. Where do you want to be? What do you want to cut out? Where do you want to be in 5 years? We've been in Spain for 5 or 6 years now, 5.5 years or so. And when we look back at the journey that's got us here, boy, we've had to make sacrifices. I remember not buying each other Christmas presents one Christmas. All right? That's really sad, isn't it? Like, do you not think that's really sad? That's a choice. Well, I would much rather not buy each other Christmas presents all Christmas forever, but live in Spain. If that's what it came down to, that's not a problem. But what are the sacrifices? What are you going to give up in order for you to get to where you wanted to get to? These are the things that you have to do. I mean, we're very fortunate because that was ages ago. I mean, it was when we were going through all these bad times with the separation and all of that kind of thing. But, you know, we've had those experiences. So these are the choices that you've got to make. So number one, got to quit your debt. Okay. Number two, at some point, you've got to cut your debt. Number two, you've got to generate cash somehow, okay? And then number three, you've got to start investing in assets. Like, if it's going to take you 24 months, you haven't got the patience for 24 months, £1,000 a month to save 24 grand, you know, we've got investments, for example, that are paying us 30% or 24% or 20% a year, various investments. Go out and find some of those and put your £1,000 into that, and the next month you earn £1,000, put it into the next one, and so on. And after 2 or 3 years, then you take all that money back out and then you put it in property. There's so many different ways of doing it, but it all starts from managing your money and working out what your debt is. All right, we've gone for quite a long one on this one, so we'll call it there. I hope that was useful for you on a Monday morning. My name's Dan Latta, and we'll speak to you soon. Take care.
The Property Coaching and Wealth Creation Podcast, brought to you by property and business coach Daniel Latto. Join the conversation at www.daniellatto.co.uk. Remember to like and subscribe.